Hello and welcome to Dr. Joe's Health and Sanity Call. I'm Dr. Joe, a wellness expert and professional speaker who helps busy people stay healthy, sane, and productive. For more information of how I can help you and your organization, visit drjoe.com, drjoe.com. Hello and welcome everybody to today's Health and Sanity Call. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dr. Joe, a professional speaker who helps busy people stay healthy, sane, and productive. And much of our conversation that we've had over the last, I think we're on week 7 now, wow, has been about the sanity piece, really, how to manage this new normal that we're in. And last week I started segueing into, a little bit more about the productivity part, how to feel a little bit more productive, how to feel a little bit more normal in terms of what your business or your career, or even maybe your family life is going to look like, you know, instead of just struggling. I have with us a special guest, Andrew Mellon. He's a keynote speaker, coach, productivity and organizational expert, and the number one best-selling author of Unstuff Your Life. Hey, Andrew, welcome. Yeah, show your book.
There you go.
He has worked with over 100,000 people and businesses to remove both physical and time clutter so they can get unstuck and restart their amazing lives super fast. And so I'm delighted to have you with me because I have had a lot of experience with this whole idea of organization, both my parents and my husband's parents, through the latter part of their life, kind of cleaning out their house as they moved out or moved on. And it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Stuff we had to get through. And I have 8 brothers and sisters, and all of us talked about how it motivated us to unclutter our own lives a little
Excellent.
Bit. Yeah, so I'm really excited. I have to say, I think I'm doing pretty good, but we all could use some help. For me, it's probably more paper stuff
uh-huh.
than anything else.
But, yeah, paper's the number one thing that makes people crazy.
It is.
Why so you're in good company. Well, because people, there's several reasons. I mean, people are, they don't want to make a mistake. It's paper, so it feels important. And all of the most important objects in our legal life in the world are paper-based: birth certificates, marriage certificates, death certificates, deeds, titles. So it comes with a lot of charge around it that you don't want to make a costly mistake with paper. It could really mess you up and possibly create legal ramifications, financial ramifications. So people are very cautious and they would rather keep more than less and not make the mistake. Whereas it's relatively simple, not always easy, but simple to figure out what to keep and what to let go of. And I actually have a guide called Should It Stay or Should It Go? It's also the appendix in my book that will tell you from 1 month to the rest of your life, the documents that you should keep. Now, should check with your attorney and your accountant, but it is a basic punch list of every document from a credit card statement to a living will, and it will tell you how long to keep it and where to keep it.
You know what? That's funny because I wasn't even thinking about those kind of papers. You know what I was thinking about? And that now that brings up a
Post-its?
Whole, now the whole
Post-its
matter.
Post-its on your desktop?
Now I have more to stress over. But I was thinking in terms of like, because I write a lot of blogs, do a lot of videos, I've written a number of books. And so you come across an idea, you print it off. I mean, perhaps I should save it on my computer, but it's a lot easier to print it off, especially if it's an article I have
to read.
That's
a good story.
Yeah, it is a good story. And we've been talking about stories. Yeah, and so I oftentimes print off the articles because I like to highlight them and I like to refer back to them. So it's that kind of paper. Anyone else? By the way, all of you have access to the chat box down below. I'd love to hear what kinds of things you have. Is it in the closet? Is it in the kitchen? Are you losing stuff? Is it Is it paperwork? Am I the only person?
No, clearly you're not. Issues? Clearly you're not.
So, you know, I mean, what about all this paper? Forget the legal stuff. Just
sure.
The other papers. What do you think?
Well, it's all story, Joe. So yeah. You have a story that says, I'm going to use it later. I'm going to use it someday. But if you don't actually, if you don't have a plan for it, it's just laying around annoying you and pestering you and reminding you of all the things that you're not doing. So if you're actually working on a product or a project, then by all means, print things up, organize them in a basket or a bin because they all belong to the same category and it's all part of a project. So however you manage your projects, keep them all together. When you finish that article, perhaps you'll tell yourself again, oh, well, I didn't include this, but it was a great piece of information. I want to save it for, again, later or someday when I write part two of this. But if you don't actually have a plan for when part two happens, it just becomes clutter. Chances are, if you left a breadcrumb trail for yourself to find the article in the first place, you can get back there and print it up again if and when you need it. And I understand story could tell you, oh, well, that's not being very environmentally sound. And while it is true that we would prefer to reduce the impact to the paper by printing things over and over again, if you think about sanity and your choices, if it's a three-page article and you recycle it or you somehow shred it up and do something else with it, the impact is less probably than the psychological nagging of having things laying around that are unfinished that you're torturing yourself with. So I would say let it go and go back and get it the next time you need it again if you're not already in motion to use it with a specific deadline in mind. Because otherwise, you could have baskets of all kinds of interesting things that you've, and you probably do.
Very
you print
interesting.
It up off the internet, you've read in a newspaper or a magazine, and you're going to tell, and you're, there's no time for when you're going to use it, and you're just holding on to it with a story. And the story is the most important piece, actually, of that. Because again, if what you were looking for was statistics of how many times people do X or don't do Y, that data is going to change in 6 months. So you could do that search again, and the article that you printed up might even be obsolete or incomplete information.
Absolutely. That's right. You know, and so it's interesting. We've already talked about story. And for those of you who don't know what exactly story means, it's just basically the things you tell yourself about whatever it is that we're talking about. And as a PhD nutritionist, and I speak in the health arena, and all of our health behaviors, the things that we do, are because of what we say to ourselves, right? If we say, I can't lose weight because I have no willpower, well, guess what? You have no willpower and you won't be able to do it. If you say, I don't have time to exercise, you don't have time. And it's kind of going back to that Henry Ford quote, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So it is what we say to ourselves that is more important than the actual facts around it. It's our story.
Yes.
And so I am always fascinated with story, but I have to say, Andrew, I really didn't think about the story behind my stuff necessarily. I have to share another funny story because I have eight brothers and sisters.
Okay.
So growing up, things were not always very organized. It was a little, you know, so I grew up in a messy household. And one of the reasons maybe I grew up to not like mess quite so much. But anyway, I was doing a stress management seminar. I remember there was hundreds of people in the audience and we were just brainstorming about how the whole idea is if you want to have time to do the things you want to do, you've got to let go of some of the other things that you do, right?
I mean,
makes common sense. So I was just sharing with them how I do not make my bed any morning at all. And people were in the audience like, oh, you know, like it was such a sin. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care if the bed is made. My husband doesn't care if the bed is made. Nobody else sees the bedroom at all. I don't invite people into my bedroom. And if it doesn't bother me and it doesn't bother him, you know, why would you think you should do it if nobody cares, right? And
right.
And that's the whole idea, right? Whether we care or not. And so anyway, we were just throwing out ideas of what things we could do. And one person said, I'm going to stop folding my underwear. And I thought she was joking. And I just kind of had this nervous giggle. And she said, I said, for real? And she said, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to stop folding them. I said, you can fold underwear? I mean, I have 8 brothers and sisters. I didn't even know that was a possibility.
Yes.
And people, and that's why I just asked for a vote. And I'm sure we had probably 400 or 500 people in the audience. And I asked, how many of you fold your underwear? How many of you don't? And it was like, you do?
Oh yeah, I do.
Oh my gosh. See, it blew me away because I didn't know. And then she was saying, well, she has to fold it because otherwise they're wrinkly. And I'm like, you pull them on. If they're wrinkly, they're too big. Get smaller underwear. I mean, like I said, I couldn't get used to this. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So, right. Is it about our personal priorities and our stories? I mean, like, why do you fold your underwear? I mean, you're going to put them on and who cares?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to
well,
see
them. I fold my
underwear. I'm sorry. This is kind of a
No, look, I mean, it's hardly the most personal question I've ever been asked. I'm happy to answer this one. I fold my underwear because I like the way it looks when the drawers are open, because I have multiple flavors of underwear. So I like the dark gray underwear with the dark gray underwear. I like the lighter colored underwear with the lighter colored underwear. So if I'm wearing a pair of jeans, I will, you know, it doesn't really matter what I'm wearing because they can't see through them. But if I was wearing a lighter pair of dress trousers or a suit, I would probably want to wear a darker pair of underwear so that it necessarily didn't show through. And, you know, boxer briefs or boxers or briefs themselves, depending on what I'm, you know, whether I'm wearing shorts or I'm wearing more form-fitting clothing, depends on the underwear.
And you can't just look in the drawer and find them.
So that thing that you just
did.
That thing that you just did, right? Like just go through the drawer. The 15 seconds that it would take me to find it, I'd rather spend the 15 seconds folding it. You're going to spend the 15 seconds one way or the other. I appreciate when I open the drawer. And I also have little dividers in my drawer that I have an old mid-century dresser when it was actually, you know, made by a craftsman. And so there's drawer dividers. So it's already segmented so that I can keep the rows of underwear tidy. And it just makes it easier for me to interact with it. And also it makes it easier for my housekeeper to interact with it. So,
well, I am such a boring character because I probably have 12 pair of underwear. They're the same style. They're just in different colors. So to find the pink or the blue or the white.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
We all do different things, right?
Well, somebody else in the chat box said that she folds her underwear too. So there you go. I'm not alone. We did have a question though about, you know, mementos, those precious pieces.
Maybe they're precious. Maybe they're precious.
What's that?
Maybe they're precious.
Okay, we all have got, well, I know in my family, and Mary Beth, I know her as well on the call, we've got these pictures from our extended family.
Mm-hmm.
Our mom and dad and aunts and grandparents and all that kind of
sure.
stuff. And I know Mary Beth is probably in the process of organizing all that, but do you have any special tips for that kind of stuff? Because there's also letters from old boyfriends, letters.
Right.
That
so, okay. I'm going to interrupt you just because like now we're piling on and we're making photographs are different than letters are different than garments are different than ticket stubs from concerts. I would not even call photographs sentimental objects. I would call them photographs. They are their own animal, as opposed
Can we talk about photographs then?
Yeah, of course we can. Yeah, sure, of course. There's an entire chapter in my book dedicated to managing photographs. So mm-hmm. I can certainly tell you the short answer is, if you are going to keep your photographs, you need to know what you're going to do with them and you need to organize them. And the easiest way to organize them is either by category, like immediate family, extended family, trips, or you can just do it by the calendar, which is sort of like your underwear drawer. So we could just take everything that happened in 2018 and throw it in a box. And it doesn't really matter whether it was a trip to Disneyland or it was a photo of you on your balcony or it was the only thing that they all have in common is that they happened sometime between January 1st, 2018 and December 31st, 2018. Or you can chunk them up and say, this is travel. And so in 2018, we went to Barbados, we went to Disney World, and we went, you know, to visit relatives in Des Moines. So all of those would be in the category of travel, and it wouldn't really matter what year it was. So you want to do one of two things. The macro examination, though, is what are you going to do with the photograph? Do you have a story that says, oh, on a day off, when COVID happens, I'm going to make photo albums? Really, who's going to look at a photo album? Any of your children, your children's children, if you have grandchildren, they're all digital natives. They're going to look at a photo album and think you're crazy. If you think it takes a long time to fold your underwear, imagine how long it takes to curate a photo album and put the photos into a photo album that nobody is ever going to look at again. So you either want to digitize them and turn them into like a digital photo frame, or you want to figure out what the end game is. Because if you think you're going to pass them on to future generations don't want them.
So we should ask our kids if they're ever going to want it, right?
Exactly. That's the first place to go. If your kids are adults, you should be asking them about any sentimental objects or photographs, because you have a story that says, right, when I die, you're going to want this bell. And your kids might say, I love you, don't want the bell. Don't want the bell, don't need the bell. Do something with the bell now, because when you leave, the bell's going in the garbage. So let's get clear about the trajectory of the bell, because in your mind, it is this sentimental, precious object, and in their mind, it's clutter. So
let me ask you, my parents and my husband's parents have passed on. So I don't have this situation anymore. But how do you say that to your relatives when they talk about this precious item that they want you to have, and you have
zero interest?
You don't want it at all. But to say that, do you know how to communicate that without hurting your feelings?
So we'll role play right here. Joe, I love you, and I love that you love that object. I'd love to know the story and why it's significant to you. I want to be clear. As much as I love you, I don't have any attachment to the object. So I appreciate the thought, but what is important to me is our relationship. So I want you to tell me the story of it, because that's what's really important to you. The object, it may or may not actually have monetary value, but clearly it has emotional, sentimental value to you. So please tell me that story, because after you're gone, I won't know. I'll only be left with the object, and I won't really know why it was significant to you. So I'd love to learn that.
Yeah. Have you ever recommended that people tape their family members?
Totally. I send people to StoryCorps all the time.
Oh,
if you're familiar
do.
with StoryCorps, that program from National Public Radio, that's where you can go into a booth and interview a anybody who's important to you. They don't have to necessarily be a blood relative, but it's a 30 or 45 minute interview, and you can record it and it becomes part of the archive. It's a great, great thing. So you can do your own on-the-fly version of StoryCorps. You can say, I just want to interview you. You can do it through video chat, or you can just do it on your phone. And of course, I think it's, again, when we were talking before we got online, story is incredibly powerful in building intimate relationships between people. It's completely useless when it comes to objects, because it's a one-sided story. The story isn't reciprocated. But as we build memory and experience together, we will always remember the day that we did our first podcast together, right? Something about it will be evocative, and we will hold on to it. And when we see each other again, we'll be, oh, remember that time when we didn't know each other well. We met online. We talked before we got online. Blah, blah, blah. All of that is building our shared reservoir of experience. Mm-hmm. And it's how we become closer together. Awesome. Awesome. But when it comes to objects, it's just misplaced. And so it's helpful to help people unpack it and recognize it. And certainly if you don't want to be the recipient of things that mean nothing to you, and you don't want to be stuck in guilt or shame or embarrassment, or, and again, you don't want to be aggressive and standoffish or rude and say, no, thank you, without giving context. Mm-hmm. The context is, I love you. I have enough of everything. And unless it's something that I can replace something that I already have that has meaning to me, it's just another thing. But you are precious to me. So I want to know more about you and the things that surround you. Why are they important to you? It's very easy to redirect as long as you have a clear intention and you are definitely coming from a place of love in your heart and genuine curiosity. I mean, if it's robotic, everybody will sense that you're just doing it and you really don't care. But if you are genuine, then people will, they will be moved and want to unpack the story. And then they might even say, you know, now that I told you the story, the story is all that matters to me. I don't really care about the thing. Because that happens more than not.
I love that. And I think that's the number one tip that I took away from today. I don't know about the rest of you, is just really asking yourself, what is the story behind why you're keeping what you're keeping? And we could go on for hours and hours, I'm sure. And I know, Andrew, you did a 5-day challenge just a short while ago. I saw it on LinkedIn. Was it called Unstuff Your Life?
It was called the free 5-day De-Stress Your Mess Challenge.
De-Stress Your Mess. Will you be doing that again?
We will definitely do it again. So if you go to our website, if you go to andrewmellon.com, and Mellon is spelled MELLEN.com/stress-mess-challenge, you can sign up for the waiting list. And when we offer it again, I think it'll probably be another couple of months and then we will do it again. But hopefully we will be post-COVID, but it's so hard to know how this is going to unfold. So my sense is that later on in the summer, we'll do another one. We had over 2,000 people sign up. It was an amazing experience. And we created a Facebook group and people can still go join the Facebook group. That's available. So even though the challenge itself isn't happening, if you go to Facebook and look for De-Stress Your Mess Challenge, 5-day De-Stress Your Mess Challenge, you'll find it and you can join that Facebook group. It's free.
Wonderful. That's great. And the name of your book again?
The name of my book is Unstuff Your Life.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Andrew, for coming on the call and sharing with us. I appreciate you sharing part of your day with us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It's great to be with you and all the viewers. And I completely support everybody in making these kinds of strategic choices for themselves, right? It's as I said earlier, it isn't always easy, but it is super simple. And the last thing I'll just leave you with is at every decision point, you have the opportunity to complicate your life or simplify your life. So if you want things to be simple and easy to manage, just examine in each of those inflection points. Is this, if I think it all the way through, is this going to complicate my life? Is it going to create consequences that I don't want to have to navigate? Or is there a way to strip something out of the equation and get down to its essence, to its core, and make a simpler choice that will be easier for me to sustain and give me more free time for the things that I want to spend my time doing?
I guess that's why I have just 12 pair of underwear in the same style in different colors, right?
Exactly.
So it's different for each and every one of us. Well, thank you very much. Listen, we have a call on Thursday, and actually, Neely has been on the show before. She's a registered dietitian. I am also a registered dietitian, was my first career, and we're going to be talking about overdrinking, overeating. It's happening a lot during the coronavirus. And we'll talk about when it's a problem, what should you do. It's going to be an interesting discussion because she and I have both been in that category. So look forward to talking with you all on Thursday. Bye, Andrew.
Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed today's Health and Sanity Call, please subscribe to the channel and share it with others. For more information about how I can help you and your organization, visit drjo.com. That's just four letters, drjo.com.